Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know what sucks this morning, Gio?
What's that?
We wake up this morning, I look at Tankathon.
Yeah.
And the Knicks are now in the third spot.
Well, that's okay because they have to be in the top three. So the top three all have the same odds with the new lottery system.
I mean, happened to Phoenix? Lost four in a row now.
Yeah, I know.
They're not good.
Right. Phoenix should be better.
Come on, man.
They should be better.
And Cleveland's lost seven in a row, and of course, our Knicks have lost eight in a row.
Right. Yeah, Cleveland and Phoenix and Atlanta, those are the ones. But, you know, Atlanta can do some things here and there with Trae Young. He goes off. So, I mean,
what about Chicago? Chicago's 10-28.
They scare me, too. You know,
Cleveland's 8-30. Phoenix is 9-30. The Knicks are 9-29, and Chicago's 10-28. And then Atlanta is 11-26.
Do you know how far off the percentage falls? I think it's 14% top three.
Yep.
If you finish four or five, how far does that percentage
fall? 12.5 and then 10.5.
All right. So it's not like even if you finish fifth worst, it's not 10% to 14% is not 50% to 10%.
You still want the best odds.
No question.
You really do.
But the odds aren't that far off.
I think Fizdale's doing a pretty good job. He's sitting all the vets. They're all getting angry. You know, they're going to start asking for trades before too. I think Enes Kanter probably says he doesn't really want to be traded, but he wants to go to the playoffs. So I don't know, really, that guy is about, he's all over the place.
Yeah, well, he's the guy that you worried about during this season being the mouthy one, right?
Yeah. Of course.
You knew that he would be, and he is. Yeah. All right, we got Jerry here with an update. What's going on, man?
We have so much to get to. We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We had yesterday Dave Gettleman speaking for 34 minutes, and we had Mike Tomlin speak for 30 minutes yesterday. So, fair to say, when I look at the board and I see Gettleman clips number 45 is the last one we've stopped at so far. Yeah, Bob has done a remarkable job with that. So we'll get to a whole bunch of it here. Here was Gettleman yesterday. This is how things start. He's all pumped up and fired up.
Happy New Year. You know, it's good to see everybody, and I hope Santa made a visit. Or, you know, you had some good potato luckies.
What is it? A what?
For all you Jewish people out there that might be offended by my Christmas thing. I mean, that's potato latkes, I think.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, not luckies. I don't know how he said it. But he says things different than we do because he got a different accent. Like as you'll hear, he'll say quarterback.
He does do that. He also says things like this.
Winning in the NFL is not easy. It's hard. Winning a game in the NFL is hard.
It's hard.
I really like this guy.
It's hard.
I mean, he did not have a great offseason bringing a couple guys in, but boy, do I love listening to him.
He's fun, too.
Hard.
Here was his overall assessment of the team this year so far.
It's a team that had to learn how to win again. So I feel really good about the foundation that we've started to lay.
It's very positive. I think that's good. But the record, sir?
Not happy with 5-11. Nobody is. But I feel good about where we're headed.
Comments about Eli. These were the first comments about him.
Eli and I had a very extensive conversation on Monday. No holds barred. He took me in the low post and won. But, you know, the bottom line is it was a very honest and upfront conversation. I'll keep what was said private between he and I.
And really didn't go into too much. He was asked if he's committed to Eli for next year.
Here's what I'm committed to do. I'm committed to making the best decision in the interest of the New York Football Giants. That's what I'm committed to do.
And so there's
have an honest conversation with OBJ.
Well, he got into that too, and I can tell you one thing about OBJ is he's not going anywhere. If I find the clip here, give me a second. Clip number 33, I told you there's a whole lot of them. Here he is.
We didn't sign him to trade him, if that's what you're asking me.
And then the follow-up.
Well, he's got to say that. I mean, you can't undercut the value of OBJ by saying, yeah, we're out there looking to actively trade him.
Right. Like Brian Cash would do with Sonny Gray.
Yes.
We don't want him.
Yeah, we're getting rid of this guy.
He was asked, you know, how do you evaluate things, the quarterback position, the line, the defense, whatever it might be. Well, how he will do it.
Oh. I will be watching film for the next who knows how long till my eyes bleed.
So he's
you know what?
Be
with
hold
this
up.
Season, it might take like one snap, and your eyes are going to start bleeding with this team.
Here's let's see, here, clip number 42. Let's see. Can you? This was great. Can you? I guess someone asked him if they can assure Eli if he's back and Archie. I don't know how that came up. That the Giants will have a winning season next year.
Archie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can anybody guarantee anything like that? Really? You know, all you Yankee fans thought you were going to win 162 games this year. You know? I knew better.
I think I wish Al Dukes were there. You know, don't you wish Al Dukes were up there giving the press conference?
Okay.
I would love to ask some Eli questions.
Or maybe give some Eli answers. Right?
Yeah, he's not here today, so right. We have a limited playbook.
Right, so
limited offense.
We'll pull the curtain back here for a second. Boomer was asking for a particular clip of Al Dukes, and Eddie is out today, so we didn't have that.
Fliegelman
right at our
can't find it.
Right at our fingertips.
Don't we got to get Fliegelman one of those, like how the quarterbacks have the plays on their arms?
Yes, exactly.
Like a wristband.
Well, what does Eddie always say, though? It's job security for him. I leave, no one else can find anything.
He hides his clips.
He does.
Yeah. I can tell you in Eddie's folder, everything that's from Al starts with Al. There's no Dave Gettleman. There's no Gettleman. There's no Dave. So I have no idea where this could
be. It would
be
more Eli, I think. Eli, offensive
line. Yeah, me on Eli.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we just hit one of them and see what it sounds like?
Oh, I like that.
Give it a shot there. Hit anything.
Any random thing?
Yes.
He's the best.
There you go.
You found it.
Yeah.
You
found it.
It doesn't say Eli, but he's the best.
Oh, yeah. We heard it again?
Everyone on the...
Nope.
No.
You screwed that up?
Yeah, this thing is rolling as I'm in the folder. There we go.
He's the best.
Okay.
All right, we're getting there.
What about the one where I say you're going to have him until he's 60?
Yeah, you got that?
That's not... Maybe this
I
one.
I talk to these pinheads.
No. There's a 20-second Eli rant. That's what it says.
Let's see. Let's hear it.
I talk to these pinheads. Stop it with the offensive line.
There we go.
I can't handle it. You will have Eli Manning till he's 60. Be happy with it then. He's the best.
There you go.
Guess what? If the Giants cut him today, not a single team would pick him up. For free.
Oh, God. Well, here's one of those pinheads, Dave Gettleman.
He still can make the NFL throws. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, still
Steve, he can still make NFL throws. He still got it. That part of it.
Pat.
Yeah.
Still and he, that part of it.
And he blamed the offensive line.
Oh.
He did. Bob's going to grab that for next hour, so we'll play that.
The offensive line?
He absolutely said when we were basically rotating players and trying to find the right combination, the offensive line was not good early in the season. We finally figured it out. We got comfortable with the system. We won some games, and things completely changed. I'll have the clip for you next hour, but I want to get to Mike Tomlin because we have a lot of him.
This ought to be good.
So I'll start here when talking about moving on. As you would.
Part of moving forward is just waddling in it right now, to be quite honest with you. And so we're going to waddle.
Waddle? Does it mean waiting in it?
He's waddling.
I don't think he meant, like, when, I think the analogy would be waiting in it.
Who cares?
We're going to waddle like a duck.
If you're the Rooney family and you're sitting there listening to this.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Mr. Rooney, we're going to. Yeah, imagine, Coach. It's Art Rooney. Can you come up to the office, please? How are you going to handle this? We're going to waddle like a duck. We're going to waddle our asses off with a little feathery tail.
So we're going to waddle.
Yep, we're going to waddle. Look at this. Look at my feathery butt waddling back and forth. We're going to get some web ass feet, and we're going to be walking around waddling our asses off. Quack quack, quack quack, boss. That's what we're going to do. Waddle just like this, back and forth.
And so we're going to waddle.
Watch me waddle.
I love this guy.
I gotta miss this.
I do. This guy's great. He went through the whole thing with Antonio Brown. He was indeed hurt when this whole thing started.
He came in on Wednesday and expressed soreness in his lower body, feet, ankles, knees, specifically a knee.
A penis. He mentioned all the body parts.
He felt the tingling in the tip of his junk. I had a trainer inspect it.
He said, because he's a veteran player, In his tenure as head coach, if a veteran player is feeling sore, he will give him a day or two, knowing that by Friday they can kind of get back into it, by the walkthrough on Saturday, that they can show up and be ready to play, especially when it's a team they're familiar with. In this case, it was the Bengals, so as of Friday, still hopeful that this guy would be able to play Sunday.
Wanted to leave the light on in terms of his participation.
That's like the Motel 6. So that was still possible, but then everything went awry.
Then after Friday's business was done, it became difficult to communicate and catch up with him. I wasn't able to communicate with him on Friday evening or Saturday morning.
And so at that point, made the decision he's not playing because the guy's basically missing in action. So after not being able to talk with him, the agent reaches out.
I woke up Sunday morning, got a call from his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Drew expressed that he was feeling better and that he would potentially be able to participate. I outlined to Drew that decisions weren't made like that.
And so he wasn't going to play.
Translation, I told Drew to blow it out his butt.
Pretty much.
I mean, so he can't get a hold of his player.
Right.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It just sounds so, like, I don't know, out of control and such a lack of respect for Tomlin.
I
and
agree.
The rest of his teammates.
Yeah, that too. But, you know, I think if I were a teammate and this guy just went AWOL on us, I'd be very disappointed, especially in a game in which we have to win. So while that whole team was pissed off at Le'Veon Bell earlier in the season, how do you think they feel about this guy now?
Well, they're, I'm sure, befuddled because, I mean, this was an important game for them. Obviously, they had to win it and need the Ravens to lose, and he decided not to show up to practice. He thought he was going to play, but...
That's a completely...
At least Mike Tomlin didn't let him play. If Mike Tomlin would have let him play after all that, that would have been a horrible look.
He did not, and he said they spoke before the game Sunday. He showed up, said, you got to support your team, which he did, and then he's like, I was told he left the stadium. I don't know. I was coaching a game.
I mean, between him and Le'Veon Bell, man. I mean, I understand Le'Veon Bell. At least he stood out. He didn't get paid. And he, you know, drew a line in the sand. So you can say whatever you want, whether he's, you know, leaving $14 million on the table was dumb or whatever you want to say. That's one thing. At least you knew he wasn't coming back.
There was one good
this
question.
Guy went AWOL in the freaking middle of the season or the end of the season.
The last question to Tomlin was, Brown's the only, you're the only coach he's ever played for. Are you, like, hurt by this, bothered by it?
There's disappointment. There's no denying that. But on a personal level, man, I've just learned over the course of time that, man, forget my personal feelings about things or the challenges that come with the position.
And so I thought he was very honest. I thought it was pretty good. On another note, Antonio Brown was busy singing this. I don't need permission, babe. Now, why am I playing that? Well, he was on The Masked Singer on Fox. I have no idea when it was taped, but I guess it aired last night because the clips are all over the place. And if it didn't air, they've put the promotional clips out. And so he was wearing, what was he wearing?
A bull hat? Hippo mask.
A hippo mask. Yeah, a hippo mask. And so that was very interesting. And of course, as I said to Al before, the panel was trying to guess who it was. I guess they knew it was some sort of an athlete. And of course, the first guess that was thrown out there, if you listen closely.
Take it up!
Odell. Right. Like, what type of clown would do this? Gotta be Odell.
But how about Antonio Brown? How about getting slapped around like that? They thought it was Odell when it actually was you.
They threw out Odell. They threw out Deion Sanders. They were throwing out all these names. Yeah, it was actually funny.
I wonder if they made that one the first one, because apparently that was the first person to come
out. Is that true?
Because of all the Antonio Brown stuff. They would have been smart to do that promotionally to, like, speed that one up and be like, listen, he's in the news, so let's put him on there.
Maybe.
In the hippo mask.
You're certainly going to get a lot of play out of it today for sure. God, so Antonio Brown seems like a big pain in the ass, but Jamal Adams says bring him on.
AB's going to come to play. And when he steps on that football field, he's all business. And he everything's about football with him. So I would definitely, you know, love to have him here.
Adams with the CMB yesterday.
Everything's about football with him.
That's what he said.
Only when he wants to show up to play now, right? Because now everything comes along with this little piece of cynicism that he created here in week 17.
He has been, and this is sad for me to see this, because he was one of my favorite guys ever. He recorded a message for my wife at our wedding. That's how good of a dude he was. And we played it at the reception. Just wish her a wonderful day. Like, he left me out of it because nobody cared. But enjoy your day. And we played, the DJ played this recording that a friend of mine ended up getting from Antonio Brown. That's the type of guy he was. And now he's completely different. Someone who doesn't care about anything but himself. He's siding with James Harrison. He doesn't like the Steelers. He doesn't like winning. He doesn't like Mike Tomlin. He's nuts. And it's horrible to see.
You know what's amazing to me is, like, he is playing for a legacy team. Like, and he had such great rapport with his quarterback. He's got 830 receptions, 11,207 yards, 74 touchdowns. And you're going to walk away from that because of some pettiness?
I don't even know what he's mad at. What is he mad at?
But there's, like, some sort of pettiness.
What's his problem? But this is the thing I don't understand, and nobody's talking about this. What is his gripe?
Well, you have to talk to him.
But he doesn't say it. Maybe the entire season. What is his problem?
Juju Smith-Schuster getting named MVP.
I think
of the
that
team?
Has something to do with it. I really do.
I mean, that just goes to show you, like, you know, for Jamal Adams to sit here and to try to say, well, AB's going to come to play. Yeah, okay.
Well, he probably will. I mean, he has been, that's a guy that outside of him not showing up for this last game, which is a bad one, I mean, is always prepared. He's always working hard. But, I mean, right now it seems like his motivation has changed. Where on his list of priorities is winning right now?
He just took a knife and dug it in the back of his coach
and
his teammates.
He's different
and
now, yeah.
On top of that, you know, the agent calls the coach.
I know.
Hey.
I thought that was bizarre.
Go screw. Boom! See ya.
Quickly, Nets beat the Pelicans 126-121. They had seven players in double figures, so they continue to play well. D'Angelo Russell, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 13 assists. Thunder beat the Lakers 107-100 on a night where Russell Westbrook was 3 for 20. Paul George had 37 in that game. Sixers beat the Suns. Celtics over the T-Wolves, and the Mavericks blew out the Hornets. You got Raptors and Kawhi Leonard, of course, visiting the Spurs tonight. Warriors take on the Rockets tonight. Penguins beat the Rangers 7-2. Stars over the Devils 5-4. Lundqvist, Matt Barzal, and Taylor Hall, NHL All-Stars.
All right, Jerry, thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.